Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 6, we were talking about the great condescension of the Lord to die on the cross for our sins. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The Lord Jesus Christ, the all-powerful King of kings and Lord of lords, died and bodily rose again from the dead 3 days later, having paid our penalty in full and obtaining the keys of hell and death in his humanity. But he is also immortal, and he dwells, he inhabits. He's made his home in light. That light he had before the worlds began. That light to which no man can approach, as 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 states, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word light has the idea of never kindled, never quenched. No man can approach this light, we're told. Now imagine looking at the sun on a bright, cloudless, sunny day, and you look at it for about 30 minutes or longer, and you don't turn away. What happens? Well, you are blind. Yet Jesus Christ in his unveiled glory is 7 times brighter than the sun, and it is impossible for anyone in their mortal flesh to approach unto him. Now, Moses was told that no man could see God, speaking of in this mortal flesh, and live. We cannot look at the sun for its dazzling brightness for very long. How much less can a mortal man look upon the blinding and inexpressible glory of God? And so, my friend, unless these bodies are transformed, then we don't have it. We don't see him. But that is why we will be given a glorious body, fashioned like unto his glorious body. No man has seen, nor can see, that is, in this mortal flesh. And so, only he is capable to save, only he is capable to give everlasting life. This is the glory of which Christ emptied himself, to become a man. Now, God is the Spirit. Now, the Bible speaks of him with eyes, but spirits do not have eyes in the sense that you and I do. It speaks of him measuring the mountains in the hollow of his hands. Yet he, as a spirit, has not hands as you and I do. They are only illustrations used by the Holy Spirit to try to help us to understand the greatness of our God, to understand his holiness, his power, and his love, which surpasses our human comprehension. Oh, how great the condescension of Jesus Christ, God, to become a man. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, it says, who, being in the form of God, which is the Spirit, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He did that through a virgin birth, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Holy God took notice of such mean and vile creatures as we are. But he became one of us that he might save us. He is the blessed potentate. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who only hath immortality. I remember years ago at Christmas time, Paul Harvey telling the story of a bird that was lost in the snow, couldn't seem to get out of the snow, and he wanted to try to get the bird into the barn where it'd be warm, and the door was open, and every time he'd go out there and start to chase that bird, it would go another direction, and he couldn't do it. He was frustrated, and finally just said to himself, I can't get that bird in the barn unless I became a bird and could tell him. Now, the story went on that that man had nothing to do with God until that day when he realized that's what Christ did for him. God became a man. And so he goes on to say, to whom be honor and glory and power everlasting. Amen. After being told he has a charge, an imperative command, and that command is from this God that we've just described, then Timothy must realize, and each pastor must realize, as well as all saved, that the all-seeing eye of our Savior is conscious of every defection of which we may be guilty. But he also sees our struggle in life to walk in his Spirit and not fulfill the daily onslaught and attack of the lust of the flesh. Now, my friend, if we stand, endure, not faint, he will reward our faithfulness with unspeakable joy and glory. Romans 8:17-18 says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, understand the full impact of a joint heir with Christ. When Jesus became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ would ever have a human body. He would not abandon his human body after he rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven. He has a human body now. They'll see a human body of Jesus' return. And throughout all eternity, he has a human body. You say, why is that? Because that's how we are joint heirs with him, and we are glorified together with him. As long as he is in a human body, then we're able to do that. And remember earlier, we talked about that forever salvation. He ever preserves us. So we say all of that to say, if you are a brother or sister in Christ, walk in the Spirit as you see the day approaching. Now, this takes us on to the last two paragraphs of this book and chapter. They're verses 17 through 19 and verses 20 and 21. These are the final instructions given to Timothy, the pastor. First, verses 17 through 19 cover what Timothy is commanded to warn and instruct within the local church. But then, verses 20 and 21 regards a warning concerning himself. Now, I also want you to understand that verse 17 starts off with what the Greek scholars call a present imperative, meaning a command to do something, and you just keep on doing it until Jesus comes. And if it's negative, then you stop doing it until Jesus comes. Now, this one is not negative. It is positive, okay? So, again, this is a command to do something and to keep on doing it until Jesus comes again. And so as we continue in this study, looking at these verses, we start in verse 17 through 19, and we have a warning to the prosperous, okay? A warning to the prosperous. He says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now keep it in mind, the pastor, Timothy in this case, is being told to continually preach this. It's an imperative command. But do not preach at every service or make a hobby horse, but don't forget it. Put them in remembrance. And first is to those that are rich. Now, there may be a debate about what is rich. To some, if someone makes $50,000 a year, you're rich. Others, if they make six figures a year, they're rich. And still others, it's seven figures, then they consider you're rich. Perhaps the best idea is those who are financially endowed more so than the average member of the church are the ones being addressed in this passage. Now, in the world, now the word world is eon in Greek and means the age. People who are rich now in the area of possessions and wealth, right now in the age in which you are living. Now, this is going to be true for every age through the times of the Gentiles. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, I think it's good to really go back and look at an Old Testament counterpart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Now, it's a long passage, but listen along as I read, if you would. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, and do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.